Hey, real quick, just a few things. July the 10th, we're going to be doing an outreach in Palmer, Massachusetts at 12:30, and Raymond's going to be speaking there. And I have some flyers we can give out later. And there are some images to post online as well. So Saturday, July the 10th here. John, who's speaking at our Wednesday evening service?
It's Kathy Kirk.
Kathy Kirk, great. I love Kathy. Kathy's a woman of faith.
Amen.
Good. Hey, one more thing let me mention as well. We have a freezer full of food downstairs. If anybody in the church needs some help with some food, we'd love to send you away with some, you know, great big family meals. Or if you know somebody who's struggling financially, whatever, you know, we don't ask any questions. If you say they need help, we'll believe you. So, Karen is running that. I believe she's away this week. But grab any of the greeting team or the elders or myself, and we would love to help you with that. Good. Right, are we ready to go live? Folks, we're on? Great. Hello. Hey, would you give a greeting to everybody watching live? And if you have a Bible, we're going to go to Genesis 1 and Ephesians 1. And we'll also end in Matthew 8. Hey, while you're doing that, say that with me. This is my Bible. This is God's Word. This is God speaking to me. God's Word is spirit and life. I do not live by bread alone. I live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Today, my heart is open. Holy Spirit, lead me into truth.
Holy Spirit, lead me into truth.
That you would lead me into freedom.
You would lead me into freedom.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Good. We're going to go in a moment to Genesis 1. Hey, I encourage you, read the Bible out loud. Has anybody ever heard the audible voice of God in the room? John, you have, right? Do you know, really, every time you read your Bible out loud, you're hearing the audible voice of God. Oh, that's not real. It is. This is God speaking. Yeah. Come on, guys. Think about it. If Jesus walked through the wall right now, shining in his glory, and came and spoke a word, it wouldn't be more the word of God than anybody in children's church right now opening the Bible and saying, "Thus says the Lord." The word of God is the word of God. We get all caught up about the delivery system. Whether you're hearing me live, or you're hearing me through these cameras and the interwebs, or you're hearing me on a podcast later, this is the word of Graham. Live long and prosper. But, Dr. Spock was a prosperity preacher. But come on, the word of God is the word of God, and it's powerful, it's alive, it's quick. And when we, in a way, if we will get from the Word of God what we believe we will get from the Word of God. If you go to the Bible looking for theology and history, you'll find it. But if you come saying, "God, speak to me now. I want to know your voice," you'll hear his voice. There has to be that demand. It says in Hebrews, the word they heard didn't profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in the ear of those who heard it. That's a good point, Ray. Okay. Hey, we're going to finish this week talking about authority. We've been speaking about 3 or 4 weeks now on the subject of spiritual authority. And I think it's so important that we get this down, we understand what it is, and we learn to flow in it. Would you agree?
Yeah.
And I've tried to say this every week, but I believe so many of the things we're suffering in life, or even the things we're praying about, are things that God doesn't want to happen. Come on, I want to stretch your theological thinking today. Not everything that happens is God's will.
That's right.
There's this really evil teaching. It really, you know, Calvinism is a famous tag they put on it, but it's been around everywhere. It really comes from Islam more than anything, that everything that happens happens because God wants it to happen. And that sounds so natural, so normal. You'll hear people all the time. I hear people every week in this church say, well, God's in control. And at times, push back on that. It's God. God is in charge, but that doesn't mean he's in control of everything that happens. I'm in charge in this church. I don't control everything. Lots of things happen that I don't want to happen here. Now, being in charge means you've got a remit, a way of working through those things. But God is the great king over all the earth. He's almighty, but he is not pulling every little string. Come on, today, right now, I don't even want to proclaim this, but right now in this area, there are bad things going on. There's probably, God exposed it, but there's probably a child being abused somewhere not too far from here. We should be praying and standing against those things, but that's not happening because God wants it to happen. That's happening because an enemy did this. Steal, kill, and destroy. Come on, if right now somebody on the highway stops looking at the highway and looking at their telephone and texting or whatever and causes an accident, you could look at that and say, well, God had a plan. Yes, God had a plan. They follow the highway code. They obey the laws of the land. That's God's plan. The accident happened because they stepped outside of God's plan. And God wasn't controlling. God didn't wake up and say, I think I'll cause an accident on I-90 today. Like, boom. That's not God. And we've got to let go of this idea that we don't find out what God's will is by simply observing this happen, that happen. And we don't find out God's will by trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes. Sorry, charismatics, but we don't always find God's will out by a prophecy and a goosebump. And those things are true, amen, but the subjective, the best way you'll know God's will is God's word. The best way you'll know God's will is Jesus. Amen. Job has a lot of questions. Jesus is the answer to those questions. I don't get my healing theology from Job, Jeremiah, James, or Joni. I get it from Jesus. Amen. Yeah. And it's really, again, I want you to see that thing that I believe God loves us all no matter what we do, but he's looking for a church that is a grown-up church. I've said this for years, but there are two words I believe God is saying to the church all over the world, but especially in the West: grow up.
Amen.
Grow up. Don't be a two-year-old. Grow up. The reason God gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher wasn't to do the work of the ministry. It was to equip the body to do the work of the ministry. Why, Paul? That we'd be no longer children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth, speaking the word, in the context of love, in koinonia, we'd grow up into him, to all things, to the stature of the fullness of the measure of Christ. And I believe the Lord is coming back for a grown-up church. I believe he's coming back from a church that's grown up, not a baby church, not a teenage church, for a mature bride in that sense, a bride that's fit for him. For a church that's put aside, Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, and I had the reasoning, the understanding of a child. But he said part of the process of growing up is putting away childish things, childish behavior, speaking, thinking, reasoning. At times we're tempted to go back and connect with our inner two-year-old, but God says no. At times you've got to put that behind and be those mature ones. And part of that process is actually it's not blaming God for everything that goes on, but it's also, and this sounds counterintuitive as well, but at times we need to learn to stop praying and asking God to do things that we are called to do. Graham, you're against prayer. I'm not. I love prayer, but if I'm going to pray for an hour, 45 minutes of it's going to be worship. 10 minutes of it is going to be listening. I don't know, I'm probably joking, but a lot of it's going to be just praying the promises, praying the word. Yeah. Prayer isn't just a shopping list where you come and have a moan at God. I love testimonies. Some people have tests and some people have moanies. Yeah. And so often prayer is just moany session. Oh my God. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. And again, it's not evil or wrong to say, Lord, would you do this? Lord, would you do that? Lord, would you do the other? But I really challenge you. Maturity is actually saying, Lord, What have you called me to do? What have you put me in charge of? Where is the sphere I spoke about last week? Where is the area you've called me to exercise in humility the authority you've given me and push back the enemy from that piece of ground, that piece of real estate, if you will, in the spirit you've given me? Lord, what's the authority you've given me? And I think playing this blame victim game is not what God wants, but also simply saying, dear God, you do it. Oh, dear Lord, one day when you return, everything will be in order. That's true in an ultimate sense. When King Jesus comes back, the lion will lay down with the lamb. There will be no war. They'll beat the spears into, what is it, the swords into plowshares. You know, there will be peace. Amen. But right now, we're like the tomorrow people. We're a people who are, Colossians 1:13, we've been delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his son. Right now, we're in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I am so looking forward to next week. It's my first July the 4th being an American. I can't wait. I was thinking that last night. I want to learn that. What's that song? I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be an American. I know there are African Americans and Native Americans. I'm a British American. I'm a Liverpool American. But I'm proud to be an American. But I've still got British citizenship. I've got US. But my citizenship is in heaven. Ultimately. Come on, we're all dual citizens. I mean, honor one, there's no conflict between them most of the time. And when there is, lay down the earthly one and take the heavenly one. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we are living in this, what Paul calls this present evil world. We're living with a world that is not accepting the authority, the kingship of Jesus. But we're people ahead of our time. We're living now. God wants you and I to live now as we will live for all eternity. And I tell you, another of these religious cows we've got to barbecue is this idea that when Jesus comes back, then the kingdom of God will start. That we're in the kingdom of God right now. And how much or how little you experience of the kingdom of God in your life isn't really up to God. It's up to you. It's up to how much you will learn those things. So my whole encouragement this month is find out the authority you have. Now, don't try and take authority you don't have. Find out the authority you have. Again, quick recap. In a general sense, we have Jesus' authority. But as I've said every week, authority isn't over people. Authority is over what comes against people.
Yeah, come on.
So spiritual authority doesn't mean, Kathy, go there. She should slap me if I tell her, you know. It's not that you should marry this person and leave this and go and live in China. You know, that's just weird. Weird controlling, manipulation, it's weird. What authority does, it stops every attack. If I, a pastor here, if she's under my authority in this sphere, then I have a place not to tell her what to do, but to tell anything attacking her what to do. You know, when we have authority over our kids, the goal isn't to control your kids. The goal is to create a place free of threat and menace, internal and external, that will allow those kids to flourish and grow and be the people God's caused them to be. Yeah, so authority is not about controlling people. Authority is about controlling the enemy. Again, quick recap from last week, but God gives us authority and grace. And so often, we in the church, we try to have grace for the enemy, and we try to use authority for people. When you are under satanic attack, what's the answer? Authority. When you're under human attack, what's the answer? Grace. And religion reverses that. Religion means when Satan attacks you, I'll just try and have grace to suffer this attack. No, you drive him off of your territory, tell him where to go. And then when people attack us, how dare you? Who do you think you are speaking to me like that? And we try to use authority rather than enter into that place of grace that can suck up all of the bitterness and that in them and just love them for who God calls them to be, not through their current behavior. Grace with people, authority with the enemy. Is it good? Good. Hey, what I want to do today, real quick, I want to give you five keys of the kingdom. I'm going to talk about how do we practically do this stuff? How do we put on, like the kid showed us there, the armor of God? How do we actually step into the authority we have? Because it's not enough that this remains an ethereal, you know, heavenly places discourse. It actually has to work on a Monday morning. Yeah? It has to work when bills come that you can't pay, when there's disruption, when COVID comes, when different things happen. We actually have to know, not a theoretical authority, but how do we actually, what does doing look like? How do we do authority? You're all looking confused.
I want to know.
Me too. We'll get there. Come on, five quick keys here. Number one, you've got to know you have authority. Again, this is really simple, I know, but you need to know that, and you need to know it by revelation. I'm not saying you need to do this, but it's interesting. Kenneth Hagin, he speaks about a 2-year period where every day he would pray Ephesians 1 in the first person. Lord, grant unto me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open the eyes of my understanding. Show me the hope to which I'm called. Show me the riches of the glories of your inheritance in the saints. Show me the exceeding greatness of my power as a believer, to the extent that through me, show me. And you just keep praying those apostolic prayers. Am I giving you a formula? Well, that's not my goal. But I tell you, you need to know. The danger for all of us is mental knowledge, mental assent. We think, I've heard that, I know that, and yet we don't really know it on the inside here. You know, something changes when you get revelation on the inside of you that Satan can't touch. I love it when, you know, when we own something, we get possessive about it. Yeah. I think I said to the elder group recently, you know you're a pastor when you stop and pick up trash on the driveway. Yeah, my point is when it's your, have you ever, John was praying about David's mighty men earlier. You see, all these mighty men, one of them owned a lentil field. I can't remember his name, but Eliezer, was he the guy? He owned a little lentil field. And then the Philistines came in and tried to steal his lentil. And this David, he's like, the mouth flipping lentils and the enemy's not having them. And the Bible says one of David's men drove a whole, you know, host of the Philistines out because it was his field. He planted those lentils and he wanted to eat lentil soup, and the enemy's not going to have it. Do you know that? That's what authority is. I mean, you laugh, but we all have that. You know, if I were to speak abstractly about some of the terrible things that happen to kids, we're all going to like tut 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 and we should pray about that. If that happens to your kids, watch out, baby. Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those cute little mums, you know, first baby, they're in a, they've got a little stroller in the store, and then somebody goes near her kid, and this tiger comes. I remember once when Noah was about a month old, I'd been preaching in Belgium, and I came home, and Noah had these little growths on the inside of her mouth, and Leah was all like upset, and I'm a bad mom, you know, although new mom, and calling her mom and her sisters, which is really helpful. That's a joke. And I just got back from a trip, and like Noah's got all these sores, and she's trying to, you know, rightly process, do we go to the doctor, do we believe God, do we? And I just got real, this anger welled up within me at the enemy. And it wasn't even logical, but it's like I've been working my butt off preaching the gospel in Belgium. How dare you touch my daughter? And I remember saying to Leah, just give me half an hour. I went to a little office I had, it was in a basement at the time, in a little village near Paris called Ambleville. And I went there and I just read the riot act to Satan. I remember like, boom, take your filthy hands off of my daughter. You get it in Jesus' name. I know you don't have to shout, but you know, sometimes you gotta get angry. Go in the name of Jesus. I know you don't have to shout, it's not about volume level, but sometimes that passion thing's got to rise up within you. And I tell you, at times Satan cons us into this apathetic, well, God will heal them gradually over 10 years. If that's what you believe, that's what will happen to you. As you believe, so will it. And sometimes we should let that anger thing rise up that you, I've seen a bunch of people healed by getting angry with the devil. I was once preaching in the Berkshires about 20 years ago, and there was a girl came forward to a healing line on crutches. She was about 18, 19-ish, and she'd been in a car wreck, and she'd banged her knees on the dash or whatever of the car, and she had arthritis at 17, 18, 19. Now, I don't think anybody should ever get arthritis, but at 17, you know, just on crutches, and she came forward for prayer. You know, there's different ways of praying, and at times, you know, I pray and Holy Spirit come and touch her, and I could kind of feel God touching her, but nothing was really happening, and I got her to move a little bit, and in the end, you know, I've got to move on and pray for the next person. I move on. And after a few minutes, I watched this girl kind of, you know, on her crutches, go back to her seat. And suddenly this anger thing rose up within me. And I wasn't angry at the girl. I was angry at Satan put arthritis on a 17, 18-year-old. And I called her back out. And I don't make this a method, okay? I was Holy Spirit, following Holy Spirit is a method. But I began getting her angry. I said, aren't you sick of this? Aren't you sick of going to, you know, college and everybody else is, you know, doing sports, whatever, and you can't? Aren't you? And she began getting angry as well. Again, not at me, just at what Satan. She began banging the crutch. Yeah, I'm sick of it. I had to move back. She told arthritis where to go in no uncertain terms. And it wasn't a, dear Lord, if it be thy will, please heal thy precious daughter prayer. It was like a, I've had enough of this. This is my body. It's blood washed. It was bought by the blood of Jesus. And you have no right. You take your filthy disease. You get in Jesus' name. I'll never forget. Her mum was one of the counters counting the offering. Mum comes out the office and the daughter's running with crutches dancing. And it wasn't my faith. She took authority in the situation. She told Satan where to go. And I, come on guys, I would just get you thinking, what are the areas that God has given you that we get, well, if God wants to, it will happen. You know, that passive, we should be at peace, amen, but not passive in our faith. Yeah, we walk from a seated place, sit, walk, stand. We're seated perfectly in heavenly places, amen. We have a seated relationship with God. We have a walking relationship, walk in the Word, walk in the Spirit. And we have a stand relationship against Satan. Hallelujah. So come on, key number one. Are you making notes, Carl? Come on, you need to know the authority you have. If you're not sure, ask the Lord. If you're not sure, pray. If you're not sure, think. We have this general authority he gives us. What we have, we should have authority over ourselves, number one. Okay? You know, most of our troubles come from when we try to sort other people out without sorting ourselves out. We should bring our own house in order, have authority over ourselves before we try and do it over others. And then we should recognize the spheres of authority that God has given us and not try to mess with somebody else's sphere. And at times they overlock and interlock. You know, we have a police officer here today. I checked, I could say that publicly. Can we just give all the police officers in this area a thank you? Amen. This is awesome. Yeah. Just honor them. Somebody asked me this week, Graham, are you going to do anything for Pride Month? I said, I am proud of the police officers that serve in this area. Amen? Amen. Yes. And but here's my point. If a police officer came in here as part of the congregation and started doing something weird, I would say, I'm in charge here. Sit down. Right. Now, as I drive home, if they sat there waiting and put a little blue flashing light behind them, same person, but I will, my hands will be on the dash with my, you know, Bible, no, my driver's license registration, and I'm going to be extremely polite. And yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or yes, officer, whatever the correct thing is. What's the difference? I'm in their sphere. They have a right. But I'm the pastor. Yeah, right. I'm going to get a free night in the hotel. Yeah, and know where those things are. Know where those boundaries are. But come on, I want to move on. But number one, find out. Know where that authority is and say, really know in your heart where it is. And I, like I say, one of the keys of knowing if it's in your head or your heart is how passionate you are about it. Are you protective over that? Because God, Adam should have been protective over planet Earth, over his wife, in that sphere there when God gave them dominion. We haven't read it in Genesis 1. Adam should have said, God put me here and I'm in charge. I'm going to create this wonderful place of God's order for the animal kingdom, for mankind. But Satan, he should have driven him out of the garden. Rather than, don't talk to snakes. Some conversations you can't win by talking to people. So number one, know you have that authority. Lord, accelerate me. Come on, real quick. Number two, you need to take authority. It's not enough to have it. You need to take it. I mean, if there were chaos going on in this church right now, and I'm sitting here in my place, and I have authority. I have authority. I'm in charge. I have authority. That's nice. But you actually need to take authority. And Satan will con you and get you, again, to believe, well, God has the authority. God has the authority, but he's entrusted it to you. You need to take authority in a situation. We're going to do that before this day's out. We need to take authority in our lives. We need to say, I have the keys. Amen. Come on, I have the keys for my life. I'm not going to let, you know, the economy goes up and down. There's going to be inflation. And I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do. But I am not dependent on what they're going to do. Yeah? Let's not get blown around by the world. Let's get standing firmly on the promises of God. But you've got to take the authority God's given you. If I came to you today with keys, if I said, if I said, these are the keys to my motorcycle. No, thank you. Okay. Come on, I have the key for a church here somewhere. But if I say, hey, these are the keys, there's a moment you've got to reach out and take them and take possession of them and believe you have them and begin to use them. Yeah, so take authority. Again, real quick, can I say this? How many of you have raised children? Grandchildren? Do we have any great-grandparents here? God bless you guys. Can we just celebrate them, great-grandparents especially? You know, all of you will know, I'm probably going to get myself in trouble live streaming this, but the world in which we live in, the state of Massachusetts, will tell you, well, you should never punish a kid or never smack a little boy on his bottom or anything like that. Can I say what the Bible says really works? And anybody raising kids, you may occasionally get this amazing kid who's so peaceful and never argue, but kids press boundaries, they want boundaries, they need boundaries. And the most loving thing you can do with a child, especially in that younger, that 1 to 2, 3 age range, is establish authority. Is to know that, I mean, I love my kids, roll with them and mess with them, but there's a voice I put on that will stop them in their track. And that's my point about taking authority. You've got to establish that authority. You know, if you're somebody where other people don't respect your time, the problem is you don't respect your time. I used to think as a pastor, it was my job that anybody could call me anytime, 24/7. You know, people would ring me at 3 a.m. and have, you know, do all of this sort of stuff. And I suddenly realized the problem isn't them, the problem is me. I need to put boundaries around my time and make myself available, but then other people would recognize that too. My point is take that authority in your life. When we do that, we cease to become victims. Come on, when we do that, the world is, this generation is raising a generation of victims. We're playing the victim Olympics. And it's like, you know, well, I'm an immigrant and you're this color and this happened to you and this happened. Let me compare my history against your history and my, you know, God's more interested in giving us a story for the future than he is in trying to compare who has the right to have the most. We're all victims. We've all suffered. We all have pain, but that shouldn't be our identity. It's part of our story, but it's not part of who we were. Yeah, and there's a place for all of us. You don't know what happened to me. I don't. I know some of them. You don't know what's happened to me. I was sexually abused when I was 11 years old at high school. The only reason I ever talk about that is sometimes it will help other people. If that's a help to you to mention it and to say, that's nothing to be ashamed of, that those things happen. Those things happen to little boys as well. But that's not who I am.
Right.
I'm not like a victim in recovery of something. I'm a child of God. Amen. Here the sun sets free is not in recovery, but free indeed.
Amen.
So come on, number two, you've got to take that authority. And I want us to do that before the day is out. And it's sometimes literally just making that stand and saying, I'm no longer going to be beaten around by every little wind that blows through. I am in charge here. Even if I get it wrong, I'm in charge here. And we take that authority for our lives. Come on, number three, you release authority with words. Do you remember the centurion? Comes to Jesus in Matthew 8, and I mean, a bit of backstory, he's been watching Jesus. I love it in Luke, the Pharisees come and they say, Jesus, there's a centurion here and he's worthy because he built us a synagogue. In Matthew, the centurion comes and the first words out of his mouth is, I'm not worthy. He has a servant that lies at home at a distance, sick of a palsy, paralysis, we probably translate that to be today. And he comes to Jesus, and this centurion has figured out Jesus more than 99% of born-again, spirit-filled Christians. The centurion really gets how Jesus operates. And he's kind of been observing Jesus, and he comes to Jesus, and he says, I've figured you out. I know authority. I'm a man under authority. When the chain of command says go, I go. When they say come, I come. And I have 100 men under me. And when I say do this, they do it. And when I say don't do this, they don't do it. And he said, I understand authority to release with words or a parchment from Rome or whatever, but that proclamation causes the might of Rome to be released. And in a way, the centurion came to Jesus and said, if you will give me your word, my servant will be healed. I don't need you to come and lay your hands on him, pray, anoint him with oil. I don't need to see it to believe it. Your word is all I need. And I tell you, authority, God's authority is released. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, but nothing happened till the word of God came. God's word brings order out of chaos. And I tell you, there is a power when I know at times people hear this message and they think we're talking about positive thinking, but that's nice, but it's nothing to do with the word of God. You speaking God's word decrees and releases God's authority in your life. You need to know you have authority. You've got to take that stand of authority, but then you release authority with your words. And I just look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Come on, at times we're all lazy with this. We forget. We should be decreeing things every day. We should be saying, this is what I'm going to have. Yeah. I don't mean my kids are going to obey me. No, we're going to have peace and love and joy in my home. No strife. Come on, I'm not going to have any strife in this church. Any. The Bible says where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. Four of a kind beats a full house. Think about it. Unity. Four of a kind is more important than a full house. And there's something when we take that thing and we begin to speak what God is speaking, we release the authority that's within us literally through our words. And I don't know, I'm interested in learning how far we can go with this. What can we do? What would happen if the body of Christ really started decreeing things? I personally am really interested, speaking as an American. Come on, what would happen if the body of Christ, with one voice, live in America, said, by faith we decree that abortion is over, that child slavery is over, that, you know, I mean, just, and, you know, I'm not, there are different issues, and they're not the only ones, but we actually just begin to decree. Am I saying we shouldn't vote and bring in judges and do, yeah, all of those things are nice, but there's an authority there that God has put within the body of Christ. Yeah. Let's begin to decree that terrorism can't stand, that the plots and schemes of evil men will be exposed. Yeah. That people won't turn colleges into madrasas or different things like that and indoctrinate kids. Let's begin to bring the order of King Jesus and release it on the earth. Yes. Hallelujah. But it starts, before you change the world, change your day. Bring order. You know, just start decreeing, I won't waste time today. Yeah, I won't live like a dog chasing its tail, running around, trying to, I won't reach, I'm going to have a great day today. I'm going to walk with the Lord today. I'm going to love everybody I meet today. Yeah, I'm going to win souls to Jesus today. Yeah, the blessing, the wisdom of God is going to be my portion as I walk with him today. Today, if we would start releasing. So number three, we release authority with words. Number four, you're going to have to stand. So you find out you've got authority, you take it, you release it. Satan won't just go, oh, well, I'll leave. You've got authority. Bye-bye. I'll go and annoy somebody else. You will be tested on the authority. Let's go back to the two-year-olds, okay? If you tell your two-year-old, go to bed, go brush your teeth, they don't go, oui, monsieur. Yes, sir. I don't want it. Another 10 minutes. I'm not, you know, I don't know every trick in the book. Nobody is as inventive as a two-year-old. And what are they doing? They're finding out, do you really mean this? And if there's a little, you know, a little hole in the dam, they know you don't mean it. If you're 95% sure that your word means what it says, they've got you. They have so got you. And they know it instinctively, don't they? And I tell you, Satan is like that. The Bible doesn't say ignore him and he'll go away. It says resist him and he'll flee. Whom resist steadfastly in the faith? And all of us, I don't like this, but it really is true, all of us are going to go through a season in different areas of our life where God says, I want to bring the kingdom in this area. I want to bring my authority in. And we tell the chaos, tell Satan his demons, tell bad habits, we tell everything that isn't of God where to go, and it doesn't automatically go. There are times, you know, maybe you wake up and the symptoms of a, you know, cold or some sickness is on you, and you tell it to go. And I've had times, and you have, where you've been instantly healed. The normal, though, is I get up feeling like, and I tell that word to go, and I feel the same. And the danger is we go, you know, internally we go, well, that didn't really work, did it? I'll sort of muddle through my day and whatever. No, we've got to stand. Come on, we've got to stand. And the real key is, the glorious truth is, most of us, we're only that far from breakthrough. Satan lies and says, I'm never giving up. Satan is a poker player. And he doesn't have any cards. He's a bluffer. He has nothing up his sleeve, but he pretends he's got all the aces. A lot of poker analogies today. I don't know, maybe we should do a men's poker night. That went down well. How many emails am I going to get? Poker's evil. I'm going to do a missions trip to Vegas. I'm kidding. Come on, my point is, call his bluff and say, no, I'm not backing down. Yeah, you know, I can't, if I'm feeling rotten, even if I feel rotten all day, I'm going to stay standing on your word, Lord, saying, by your stripes, I am healed. The Lord for the body and the body for the Lord. You are my health. Your word is life to those who find it and health to all my flesh. And just stand and stand and stand and stand and stand. Yeah, that's some of the most glorious testimonies I've ever heard of when people just kept standing for weeks or for months. I know a couple about 20 years ago down in Florida. When they were pregnant, they had an ultrasound or whatever, and they saw something. They gave this baby a full x-ray scan. They found the baby had a tumor growing in its brain. And the doctors wanted to abort the baby. And both parents are faith people, born-again spiritual people, say, no, we're going to believe God for the health of this baby. And the guy was so serious, he took a sabbatical from work, not to laze around, but he said, I'm going to work the word for 10, 12, 15 hours a day. And they'd literally get up at 7 a.m. and walk around the floor. It is written. It is written. It is written. Taking what God had said. Dodie Osteen, when she was diagnosed with terminal cancer, wrote a little book, Healed of Cancer. I think she came up with 40 scriptures. Great book. You should read it. He took those scriptures, 40 scriptures, just all day long. The doctor says this. Thank you, Mr. Doctor. We love you. But God says this. The doctor says this, thank you, but you're not the Alpha or the Omega, the first or the last. God has the last word, and God says this. And every time, you know, the baby's going to be born with a tumor eating its brain, they started saying, our baby's going to be a genius. Yeah, our baby's going to excel in everything, the favor of God. I just get declaring crazy things. Yeah. After about 6 months of just no big unction, no angel feathers, just it is written, it is written. One day, God's glory came into the room, and the mom, 6 months pregnant mom, just crashed to the ground. Dad fell on top of the mom, which is not good when you're pregnant. But we'll cut the Lord some slack. And they just knew that they knew that they knew it was done. It had moved from faith to reality. That little girl's in her early 20s right now. You know, genius, nothing whatsoever wrong with her. Flourishing in life, serving the Lord. Come on, what would it take for us to give up? At what point would we say, oh, well, I tried it for 3 weeks and it didn't work? Come on, I tell you, if you're going to see breakthrough, see the authority God's got for you, you've got to push back at the thing. And you've got to say, I am never giving up. I'm going to take this authority and I am not going to back down in the face of the enemy.
That's right.
Boom. Hey, last key today, I'll finish with this. But, you know, the goal of authority is not authority. The goal of authority is God's goodness. And sometimes we think we'll we'll take authority and drive the enemy off. That's not good enough until you fill that area with the things Satan's attacking. We're not just called to take authority over sickness. We're called to pronounce health. It's not enough to come with the authority of Jesus and break, let's say, depression off somebody. We're called to release the joy of the Lord on them. Yeah. And God, we can go into an area and break Satan's influence. Amen. But then what we should be doing is bringing all the good things God wants to bear in that place. The goal of authority isn't that you'd remove every satanic weapon formed against your children away from your children and then just leave them alone. But rather you bring in the goodness of God, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the promises of God. That you fill that space. Nature abhors a vacuum, and like a power vacuum. And if we just leave people in a vacuous state, Satan actually wins, and sooner or later he's back with all of his friends anyway. And our goal shouldn't be only to use authority. The goal of authority is we bring in the plans and purposes of God. Hallelujah. So, come on, I want to pray through these things as we close. You have authority. You have more authority than you know. I don't think we are running on 1% of the authority we have. Yeah, you have money in heaven's bank, if I can put it that way. Yeah, you have access to the checkbook of heaven. Jesus has already signed his name. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I will enforce it, it literally says. And the danger is when we're saying, Lord, if you want to, go and do something. Go and do this. One day, Lord, you'll do this. And the Lord is saying, write some checks. Come on, bring in my goodness. Put some demand on the resources I put at your disposition. Hallelujah. Come on, this is my ninth closing, but I'm in authority. See, guys, I really believe this. There are times that we should have fun with this. I'd rather go too far and have the Lord say, hey, boy, call back. You know, Peter had that attitude in him that if Jesus could do something, he was going to do it. The other disciples saw Jesus walking on water and go, oh, my God, for all eternity, we will be eyewitnesses of his glory. Peter's like, if he does it, I want to do it. And then Peter doesn't say, Lord, can I come? He basically tries to check. If it's you, tell me to come. What was Jesus supposed to say? It's not me. And here's the thing. When Peter said, can I walk on water? Jesus didn't come to the boat and slap him. In a way, it's like Jesus said, Peter, you're going to mess this up. But at least you tried. And if we try to go too far in authority, what keeps us safe is not doing nothing. Excuse the double negatives. What keeps us safe is not this false humility. Well, I don't want to overstep my mark, so I'll sit here in my little corner and do nothing. That's pride. What keeps us safe is a heart of humility, is saying, Lord, the glory is yours. And Lord, I know I could mess up. I could go too far in this. But I want to see your goodness and your power released. And I'd rather occasionally have you correct me for doing too much than do nothing and let Satan win. And I think we should have that attitude. Everywhere we go, we bring our kingdom in with us. You know, we bring the reign of kingdom. Everywhere we go, we're at a gas station. I was filling my car with gas. We should be looking around at who can I get, Jesus? As with Kim, we traveled down to Virginia a couple of weeks ago. And at one stage, you're filling gas somewhere in Pennsylvania. And I remember I'm looking at this lady, I see this lady getting out of the car, and I start praying for her, and suddenly, boop, 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 God starts speaking to me, and I end up doing a deal with the Lord. Have you ever done one of those? If she comes out before the gas is finished, and you've never tried to calm God. And in the end, I kind of went over to her and said, like, I think I've got a word from God. Can I pray for you? And this, she breaks down crying and said, I've just been for a walk and I've been praying, God, are you even really there? And speak to me, send somebody, and got to pray for her. And you got to earn your Starbucks, hey? Come on, why don't we stand up? Does anybody have any keys today? If you have some keys, get them out of your pocket bag first. Let me see your keys. Sometimes you're going to do something visual. Come on, jangle those keys. Oh, it's good. Good. Come on, these are your keys. These represent, you know, the power in your vehicle. It's useless without the little key or the little fob or whatever, yeah? All the benefits of your home, waste of time. You could die of exposure without the key to get into your home. Yeah? You might have money in your safety deposit box or whatever, great. You could starve to death with a lack of funds without the key to access it, okay? Those resources are there, but the keys enable you to access the resources. And Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Amen. So Father, in Jesus' name, today we receive the keys of the kingdom of God. Amen. Father, I pray you'll forgive us when we've abdicated that responsibility, when we've handed over to Satan, to the government, to others, the keys that you gave us. And Lord, I pray that with a humble, righteous heart, we will take the keys and we will unlock the chains that are off of people. We'll set the captives free. We'll walk in freedom and bring freedom everywhere we go. And Father, I pray that give us the humor and the boldness to try every lock we see. To say, can I have a go? Can I bring your freedom, your goodness, your glory to bear here? Lord, I pray we will be an unlocking people, a door unlocking people that will bind and will loose everywhere we go. We'll bind the works of Satan and we will loose your goodness, your spirit, as we are ambassadors of heaven. And we believe we receive these things. Give us the wisdom to operate in them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Good word, yeah. Hey, there's going to be some coffee and soup, I believe, downstairs. John's going to have our prayer team down there. If you'd like some prayer, we'd be happy to pray for you guys in any way. If you need to run, we love you. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.